Welcome to the Everyday iRacers podcast.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Rob.
And we are Everyday iRacers, just like you.
Today, we're fortunate to have a special guest, Mason Felipe, who is a current Brian Herta Autosport driver in the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge TCR class, driving the Hyundai Elantra N TCR. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, really excited to be hanging out with you guys and talk about iRacing and just how it relates to real racing and everything.
So we'll have all kinds of time to get into iRacing. We can't wait. But I want to hear about your real world racing. So you're driving the TCR. Are you in your third, your fourth year?
Yeah, so I'm in my fourth year driving TCR. Yeah, I've driven various TCR cars. I'm loving the Hyundai Elantra N TCR car that we're driving this year. It's kind of that third generation TCR car that's come out. And I mean, they handle really, really well and lots of downforce, really fun. It's cool to have a co-driver that you get to work with in the class. We race for 2 hours most of the time, and then we do 2 4-hour races as well. And so it's been awesome racing with Brian Herta Autosport and Hyundai.
And who's your teammate this year?
My teammate this year is Tyler Maxson. He lives outside of Atlanta, actually, by Road Atlanta. And he's really into iRacing. He's actually made me a lot better of an iRacer himself. And so it's been really cool working with him.
That's awesome. I'm based out of Atlanta, so maybe I'll see him around town at some point. And he's even into iRacing as much or more than you, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, way more than me. He's taught me so much just in the last few months working together. It's been awesome. I mean, today I texted him. I was like, hey, man, I need a brake bias study on the 992 Cup car. Like, I'm struggling. He had it right there.
I've been driving that at the Nürburgring, and I need a brake bias setup too. For some reason, I'm crashing all the time, but I don't think that's the brake bias.
Just unrelated to the brake bias.
Yeah. It's unrelated to the brake bias.
It could be.
So the races that you're doing in the TCR class, you say they're 2 hour races, and there's some 4 hour races sort of thrown in there as well.
Yeah, correct. And so we had our 1 4-hour race at Daytona this year, which is pretty awesome. Daytona is a fun track. And then our next one's going to be at Road America, which we've never had a 4 hour there. So it should be really, really cool to do a 4 hour event there.
Were you not just at Sebring?
Yeah. So we were just at Sebring, and it was a cool race, started on pole, and a little unfortunate during the race, but looking forward to Laguna.
So Laguna's coming up.
Yeah.
A couple weeks out.
Yeah. Laguna's coming up at the end of April here. And it's like my home track, just Northern California. It's a lot of fun. You know, the corkscrew, it's a blast in real life too, just like it is online. And so I'm looking forward to heading down there.
I feel like on your Instagram, you have different pictures of racing. You had a karting picture. Was it at Laguna?
I was actually at Sonoma. So I live right in the middle. And so I get to explore both.
I love how, you know, you talk about all these tracks you're doing in the real world, and they're all tracks I know. Like a couple of years ago, I didn't know any of these tracks at all, right? It wasn't iRacing. And now you talk about like Road Atlanta. Well, I mean, that's my track. Road Atlanta and iRacing is my go-to. But all of them, Laguna Seca, Sebring, Sonoma, Road America. I mean, these are all tracks that are on the iRacing service. So it's cool being able to relate to them.
And I think what's really cool, if you're a race fan, you've seen them on TV or something like that, but now we could talk to you and we would kind of laugh about it, but we could talk to you about some of the nuances of these tracks, and we'd feel like we were, you know, informed. Obviously, we haven't experienced them in real life at high speed like you have, but we could talk about the chicane here, the bus stop there, you know, whatever, entry to this corner, and feel like we could actually sort of have this conversation, which is really what's so cool about iRacing and real-world racing and that crossover where people in their basement or spare bedroom can actually talk to a real-world racer and sort of relate to some degree. Relate in quotes, but
it's really cool, and I enjoy it too, because I'd hang out with some people, DM me on Instagram, hey, you want to go run this iRacing race with me? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And it's like this whole other community that you get to just combine. And so I think it's super, because motorsports and esports, it's almost becoming one now. And so it's cool to have that connection that you get to just have so many more friends. And I mean, you get to race when you're sitting here at home. You're not just when you're at the track. And I enjoy doing it with my teammates. I enjoy doing it with, fans that are fans of TCR. And so it's just this really cool balance and just extra part of racing that I love.
When you talk about fans, as fans of racing, we get to sometimes share the track with pros, right? And it's kind of cool. You'll hear someone get recognized, or you'll recognize someone. You don't want to kind of infringe on someone's privacy or something like that, but you say, hey, are you the real Mason Felipe? You know, has that happened, or what's your response when someone kind of says, do you drive the TCR in real life?
I think it's only happened a couple times to me. I like to like host races and like post it on my Instagram and have people join. But it's awesome when that happens because, you know, you're out there and even for me, right? There's like some people that I don't get to race against. Maybe it's, you know, some IndyCar drivers and they're on there. I'm gonna go race an IndyCar with them on iRacing the same time. And so I even get to have that experience. And so I think it's a lot of fun. And I think it's cool too, being able to be at the track and race hard and then head to the track again and then be with those people in real life. So
Now, let me just wind back the clock a little bit here. If we were to talk about sim racing, I'm kind of wondering, how old were you when you had your first wheel in your house playing some sort of game or whatever, you know, with the PlayStation or something like that?
oh man, I don't know. It took me a long time to get a wheel, but when I was probably 4 years old, 3.5, 4 years old, I had all the racing games, and so I'd always play it up with my joysticks, and so I love that. And I started in motocross too, so like I would always do the dirt bike games as well. And then I remember when I got my first wheel, it's kind of when I started Spec Miata, like moving from karting, and iRacing was really, really new too, and so it was kind of like learning how to do it. And I kept that Logitech set until right before the pandemic started. It like lasted that long, and then I got a nice upgrade, but it was awesome.
So you've been on iRacing for a long time then?
Yeah, I remember when it kind of initially started. I think there was very few tracks. You know, we had like VIR and some of these random stuff, and I would drive it to learn the track before I went there because it was so hard to fly and you're so young and you can't drive all this stuff. You just want to drive more.
And when you first started, you're driving spec Miatas in real life, and then you had your Logitech setup. Were you kind of clamped onto a desk with an office chair, or what kind of setup were you doing back then?
Yeah, it was like a kind of like an office chair, and then I had this piece of plywood that I like had in the corner of my room, and I like clamped on there, and then had this base plate made out of metal my dad and I made, and I put the pedals on, and then sitting on it, and I had like a single screen that's probably like 23, 24 inch too, and so I was always like, why am I getting beat so much? You know, like I would get frustrated really easily, but it was still fun.
So you were at that point, you're going to school, you're doing some sim racing in your bedroom to practice, and then on the weekends you're heading off and doing spec Miata races at different tracks in real world.
Yeah, it'd always be like me and my dad, and we'd be tuning it, cleaning it, because I would spin out in the dirt, and then bring it home, tune it up again, and we'd just kind of drive it around the country, truck and trailer, and also like my sister and my mom would come sometimes. It was awesome, yeah.
Do you feel like you learned a lot about setting up cars or how they work? Things that help you now? You have a crew setting up your car nowadays, probably, but you understand a lot more because you and your dad were just wrenching on the car in between heats and that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I think it taught me a lot because I'm able to kind of have that experience of knowing exactly, you know, oh, doing this suspension change or this type of bar change and what it does, because I was there with my dad doing the change. So, you know, you can kind of almost have these like quick tools in your head all the time, which is awesome. I really love that experience that I had.
So back to iRacing for a sec. You've been on the service for a long time. You don't have to answer this, but do you have a Smurf account?
No. And
No?
so
Your name shows up whenever you're racing.
Yeah, it does. And like my Discord's up, it's like my name and you know everything. But you guys are gonna laugh at this. So I'm a rookie in everything. Cause
I did notice
I
that.
only run hosted races and like
Oh.
the in the All-Star races. And so I like really enjoy, you know, running all the hosted sessions, or I'll jump into P2 or stuff like that. But my teammate this year, he's like, you have to get your C license, because he wants me to run the 24 hours of Nürburgring with him.
You
And
better
so
hurry, yeah.
Next weekend.
I have to get on it. I'm like,
We got to wrap this up so you can go get your
yeah,
C license.
exactly. And I'm like, man, I'm like, I've done like probably five races online. You know, I jumped practice sessions, but.
That's what I was wondering, because I pulled up your profile and I was like, he must be doing like hosted and private club races with IndyCar drivers, like you were saying, that kind of thing. But you're doing the I have it up here, the IMSA iRacing Pro Series. You've done that for a couple of years now.
What is the IMSA Pro Series?
Yeah, so when the pandemic started, IMSA found different ways for us to race with each other. And so it's kind of everyone from every class. And I think they choose about 36, 40 people. And then you have to like place a certain amount and then you can go to the next one. And so I was bummed that I missed a few of them, but it's really, really competitive because not only are we probably not the best iRacers out there, you know? And so we do rack up a few incidents in those races, but you know, it's just all about staying clean. And I mean, we had our engineer from our car on our radio, on our Discord, so he could tell us like when to fuel, when to change tires, what everyone else is doing.
So he's spotting and calculating and
yeah. And so like me and Michael Lewis, we'd be out there, we were Team Avocado. So we're in this IMSA Pro race. We wrapped our cars with like the Avocado meme man. And we had it on the hood. And so it's like being broadcasted everywhere, and here we are in two bright green Ferraris, which I mean at the time probably wasn't the best iRacing car, you know, for the series. And so we were struggling a little bit, and so whenever we got top 20 we were stoked. But yeah, it was a good series.
And the whole thing is pro drivers, right? Everyone in there is a pro.
Yeah, yep.
There's no Jimmy Broadbent or anyone like that. It's professional real world drivers pulled together for a series, an IMSA series, like you said.
Yeah.
And they were like teams of two drivers for like a 2-hour race or something, kind of like the BMW 120 or something like that.
No, so for us it was one driver per car, but we just ran it as a team anyways, and so it was fun.
I actually was curious, like, so you said you painted the car yourself, you just threw the Avocado label on it.
Yeah, we did like a bunch of Instagram stories of us like jumping the corkscrew backwards, all this stuff to like get lots of hype over Team Avocado. We made t-shirts during the pandemic for Team Avocado, and we tried to make the most of it.
That's awesome. So like the rest of the world, you had all kinds of time on your hands, and that's very cool.
So when you go into that series, like on the standings, it'll say like Mason, rookie.
Or do you like iRacing rookie?
Or do you automatically get like a P rating, a little black license class or something as professional?
No. So I go in there as Mason, rookie, and there's probably like three rookies in there. And, you know, everyone's like, really? Seriously? And all my buddies will jump in hosted sessions, and they always crack up because I'm extremely competitive. So I'll stay there for hours to make sure I get the fastest time of the session. And it says rookie next to my name. So it's like, A rookie, you know.
So now it's kind of like a badge of honor. I bested all you guys and I'm a rookie.
Like, yeah, so I'm all like, maybe I need to make a Smurf account so I can have my rookie license still, you know.
But you're not awesome. You know, you're not cruising around with a 5,000 IR rating or anything like that. You're a rookie, whatever, 1500.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Max Verstappen, there was one period of a couple of weeks where he just, I think like you, he's a rookie or whatever, hadn't put the time into public races. He just buckled down. Someone posted this to Reddit or something, like in the space of like 3 weeks, went to 6,000 or 8,000 or whatever it was. Just like this, they said he came home from an F1 race and it was clear that the timeline followed, that he just raced 8 races in a row. And I think between now and the Nürburgring, what, you got about a week and a half, less than that, you could just buckle down and get that A license.
He needs to get a C license to do the Nürburgring.
I know, he's just got to get a C.
Yeah, I think I could do it. It's I just have to make sure I stay clean, not do my hosted race shenanigans.
Here for the SR, yeah.
Starting from the pits.
Yeah.
So when you're racing in iRacing, do you ever race the TCRs?
I do, I race the Elantra, and that's normally what I race, and sometimes the Veloster. I did do the Audi, and me and my teammate actually helped develop the Elantra in iRacing, which was pretty fun.
Oh, that's
pretty
awesome.
Cool. And so we got to start working on that, when was it, December or a little bit before, and it was pretty cool to kind of run the alpha build, and it was definitely fun.
So you're involved in that process. They'd scan the car, put it in, and now they want to make it feel as close as possible to the real life car. Is that kind of where you stepped in?
Yeah. So that's kind of where we stepped in. You know, they kind of have the base, but then we kind of like do a bunch of different test sessions. Hey, you know, let's try this steering ratio. Oh, let's try this brake feel. Let's try this. And so you kind of like tweak it more and more and more to make it feel more like the car. And so last year I was racing the Veloster, and so I only did a test day in the Elantra. So that's kind of what I was going off of. They're very similar cars, and so it was cool to kind of try to relay that into code, into making it something that everyone else can drive. And so it was exciting to work on.
You know, with your experience in racing real TCRs and then in iRacing a TCR, I was going to say, like, how similar are they? I mean, do you feel like, you know, there's a difference between the Honda and the Hyundai, and are they kind of similar to the real cars?
So it's pretty interesting because, you know, when I finally got the setup from my teammate Tyler this year in the Elantra, I was like, oh man, like this is kind of how our TCR cars in real life. Tyler and I really like to drive a really loose race car to the point where like you touch the brakes in turn one at Sebring in real life, and the car goes all the way around.
Whoa.
And so that's how the iRacing car is set up for the setup that we drive.
So we can thank you, I guess, thank for how that car is. You know, if I can't handle it as just someone sitting here in a sim rig without pro experience, it's because you tweaked it to be exactly like the real car.
No, so like we tweaked it to be very neutral, so baseline
Okay.
setup. But if you like work on the setup and kind of change things,
Oh, I
if you,
see. The car itself, the base car is neutral. I misunderstood. I got it. You got the
and
setup from him. I'm with you now.
yeah, so like when I originally tuned the car, it was Mark Wilkins did probably like the majority of kind of feedback on it. It's very neutral, you know, kind of like want to get that good turn in was the one thing that we really wanted to focus on with that compared to some of the other TCR cars on the platform. But now with that new setup, you just kind of like touch the brakes, go in, and I remember doing some line rock stuff and definitely loose.
That's awesome.
So the cars are kind of similar, you know, they feel the same. There are similarities between real life and in the sim, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, there's like some of that basic similarity, and so I like the sim a lot for track learning and kind of just like maybe not, you know, that exact point of, you know, every year you go to a track, the bumps change, or this car lays down this type of rubber and that car does this type, and so it like does change, but it really gets you warmed up and ready to go, you know, jump on track, 'cause we get very limited time in IMSA now because of all the other classes, which is super cool to watch some other racing classes, but you know, so you go out there and you have to be on it right away. And so what I like to do is drive the track before I go there because, you know, it does give you that kind of feel. And I think it warms up your mind mainly is what it does for me. And so it's really intense on the screen.
Do you just jump into a test session just by yourself kind of thing when you're practicing to go to Sebring? You know, in iRacing, you just go to a test session and off you go.
I normally actually just pop up a session and I do like an hour or 2 hours on there. So you guys can look for it. It's usually something funny like Laguna Bros or, you know, just no damage. Yeah, it's just like,
So it's
and
just open. You're in there, and anyone that wants to can kind of come in while you're practicing for the race in real life. But everyone else can just kind of come in and have fun with you, that kind of thing. Is that how it works?
yeah, and normally I'll put the 15-minute race at the end and I can fast forward the session through if we want to do it or something like that. And I remember getting ready for Daytona because it's the first race of the year. You know, I think I put up P2 sessions probably like once a day. Once, you know, and sometimes you get 40 people, sometimes you get three. And it's just, you know, having fun and trying to do a short little race.
That's awesome. We'll have to keep an eye out for that for sure. Yeah. I have a question about in iRacing, the TCRs are, I think there's actually reduced, you know, 1Xs or 4Xs, I should say. Or that's what I'd heard. I don't know if that's reality or not. But in real life, are you guys kind of bumping and banging almost as much when you're at Knock Hill in a TCR in iRacing?
I would say, you know, when you get to those last five laps, they get, you know, you put a lot of bumpers on the back and stuff like that. But since we are endurance racing, we tend to try to keep the cars really, really clean for the duration of the race, just because, you know, if you lose half a splitter, you lose a lot of time, and so you really need to kind of keep it for those last five or even two, three laps. And so that's kind of what we do. But in the sprint races, and we used to do sprint racing in a World Challenge, and I did some at like Vallelunga. It's like that. You go out there, turn one, like you're banging doors with people, and it's just expected. And so that's probably where they got that model from.
I get it. And when you get back to the pits, is the pit crew or the team owner or your teammate kind of saying, "Hey man, couldn't you have left something untouched on the car? You like banged up the splitter and the door and the," or are you kind of just like, "Hey, that's just how it is," and everyone just expects the car to come back with some bent, you know, stuff and dings on
I think if you come back with a big trophy, then you know it's a
it?
lot less, you know, oh man, like what did you do here? But if you come back in like eighth place and you were banging doors and everything, it's like, oh come on, man, you could have, you know, left the car pretty clean. And so, especially that
Got it.
starting driver, you want to make sure that car is just pristine for your teammate.
Are
Got
you
it. Very
guys just
cool.
doing like one driver change? Somebody goes in for an hour, you know, and then driver two comes in for the last stint. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so that's what we do. So our minimum drive time is 40 minutes, and normally we just try to go to the end of our fuel window and then do a driver change. But for race like Daytona and Road America this year, you know, it can vary from 2 hours to even 2 hours and 40 minutes depending on how the stints lay out. And so, you know, you just kind of be ready for that long stint.
Well, I was looking at a video of some IMSA TCR racing the other day, and it was at Road Atlanta. and they were coming down the hill into the last turn and just side by side. And I was like, man, I got to do more TCR racing and iRacing. That looks absolutely awesome.
Yeah, so that was the race we won. And the person in the white car is actually my teammate this year. And so coming down the hill, that was a crazy battle. It is insane.
You mentioned that you had your Logitech set up for years and years, and then the pandemic hit. And most people that got into sim racing in the pandemic kind of scrambled to buy up all the equipment across the globe. What did you kind of score for yourself? Like, what does your sim rig look like these days?
Oh, let's talk sim rig. Oh,
I know. Here we go. So actually, I was doing a sim like remodel like Christmas time, like Daytona time beforehand. And so I got super lucky because all the prices shot up and no one could get anything. And I was just getting all my stuff, you know, getting ready to put it together. And so I went with the kind of Fanatec setup. And so I have the Club Sport V3s and I have a DD2. And then I have a Formula V3 for my wheel that I mainly use. Yep. And then I just have actually my Spec Miata wheel from when I was younger that I have mounted on a hub when I want to do like stuff that I don't want to don't need all my buttons for.
I got it. So, I mean, you really can have a real world wheel on your sim rig. And it's one that you drove with for many hours in your younger days.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was super cool to be able to do that.
Oh, that totally is. Yeah.
And do you have a aluminum profile rig, like an 80-20 setup?
So I just ordered an 80-20 setup and Recaro is going to, I'm going to have a sim rig seat from them. They're one of our team sponsors this year. And so it's amazing seats. So that's what I'm going to do. But right now I'm using this one. It's called the Frenchie Co. I don't know if you guys saw their Kickstarter a while ago. It's like this sleek looking rig and it's pretty small and compact since I have a small spot. And so I'm looking forward to getting to that kind of aluminum setup where I can have a little bit more rigidity and it'll be good.
Do you have any transducers? Do you have a butt kicker or anything?
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, you need to get on the program, Mason.
I know. I just tried one out. I was at Pit Fit in Indy and they had a butt kicker. I was like, wow, this is insane. Yeah. And then I have a single screen 49 inch, which is pretty amazing. Okay. Triple screen would be amazing. I can't really fit that, but that, you know, one day. And my PC, I don't know if we talk about PC.
Yeah, we can talk it all.
Okay, so one of my buddies was selling all of his equipment, so I picked up a 3090 and I put that in there.
Nice.
But I haven't used it yet, but mainly use just a 2070 and just air-cooled, and it's been a good rig.
Yeah, I had a 2070. It was great, and then a 3080 popped up on some site, and I grabbed it, and I couldn't believe I got that lucky. But 3090, you're going to be set for a while.
I know, I'm definitely stoked on that.
Nice.
Have you tried VR?
I tried VR a really long time ago when I had my Logitech setup. Maybe my computer wasn't fast enough, but I got quite motion sick with it.
Yeah.
And I actually really enjoy this single screen setup. Really simple, easy to jump in and kind of have all my stuff set up for the way I like it.
Do you have any like racing buddies that are doing VR or most guys doing screens of some kind?
So one of my racing buddies, he was running VR for a long time, and then he just decided to switch to screens about a month ago, and he likes it a lot more for himself. I think maybe just with the VR, it can get a bit tricky, you know, and a bit trippy. And so I think it just depends on what kind of driver you are.
Yep. Well, I'm curious, you were kind of talking about the IMSA Pro Series, but any big race in iRacing world, how do you prep for it? Like I know it's not the same, right? And so you know what it's like to prep for a real race. And I'd be actually interested to hear more about that. But when you think about prepping for an iRacing race where you want to do well, but it's not your livelihood and your career doesn't depend on it, but how much prep are you putting in?
Yeah, so before when we did the first of the IMSA Pro Series in iRacing, me and my teammate, we didn't really know things like Craig Setup Shop and VRS and all that. And so we spent probably like 7 or 8, 9 hours like, oh man, we got this car, you know, we're like a second and a half faster than we were. And we were hyped, right? We just did all these private testing sessions. And then we jumped into the qualifying and we're like, we're a second and a half off still. we spent the entire week. And I remember we raced and we just stayed clean. And one of us got dumped. And Michael was like, man, where do we get a setup? Like, how do we get semi-close to these guys? And so then we learned about Craig Setup Shop and, you know, all these other places. And so that's changed my life. But yeah.
That was actually a question I had. Like, are you doing your own setup? Is someone from your team helping you out? But you sometimes are doing VRS or Craig's or whatever, just like everyday iRacers out there for $10 a month and at least start from that, sounds like.
Yeah, that's kind of what we like to do because, you know, the setups are really good for us, and there's lots of tricks that you can kind of do on iRacing I've learned over the last couple of years where this change is going to make you a tenth faster, which is, you know, that next split, or
I got
and
it.
it makes like a huge difference. And so it's been cool to learn a lot more about the different setups and different ways to drive. And even my teammate this year, he's like, "Oh no, you just have to roll speed like this in this car." And you're like, "Oh wow, like that's so much easier than me just overdriving this entire time." And so,
Yeah.
you know, just like in real life, you're always trying to perfect your kind of craft. Each lap you do, you're like, "I could do that a little bit better." And so when you get on the rig and you try to, you know, do that a little bit better each time, it kind of helps you with that mindset of just getting better and better and better. And so you kind of never stop trying to critique and perfect your driving.
I think that there are many things that bring people back to racing or iRacing, but the fact that you can constantly improve, there's always someone else to measure yourself against or measure against where you were a lap ago or yesterday or, you know, whatever. I mean, and to hear you say that just kind of reinforces, you know, that constant refinement and improvement.
Yeah, I think it's huge. It's like probably what brings me back so much because I'm so overly competitive with my peers and also myself that I just want to keep getting better, you
That's
know?
awesome.
So back to real racing for a sec. I'm curious how you prep for like races. Like you said, you have limited track time when you show up at Sebring or whatever. You know, you're not out there for 4 hours of doing lap after lap. And you know, it's a hyper competitive field, and there's lots of people that would love to be in your shoes. So you don't need to share all of your tricks of the trade, but I mean, there's no doubt physical training and mental training to give you that extra edge. Obviously, you have natural racecraft and all that kind of stuff, but what are some of the things that you do to get prep for these races to improve yourself?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of physical training, a lot of eating the right foods, a lot of mental training as well. There's a few organizations out there that help are specific to drivers in the motorsports industry and fitness. And so one that I belong to is called PitFit, and Hyundai does a camp there with their drivers every year, which is really cool. So we can kind of learn where our struggles are and where we need to improve. And so, you know, we do a lot of HIIT training, cardio, strength training is huge, you know, especially when it, you know, comes to the end of a race. If your muscles are strong enough to kind of just continue to turn that wheel, your brain can be a lot sharper. And so that's kind of where that training comes in. And then also for me, it's a lot of taking notes after the races. That way I can look back on them when I come back to the track next year. You know, I have, you know, files of notes on my phone and on my computer and pictures and paper ones too, of just kind of sketches like, oh, when I hit this bump in turn 17 at Sebring, I liked it when I was here instead of there. And so, you know, when I am going to go to that track again, I can kind of read through that and be like, yeah, that's right. I can replay that lap in my mind a little bit and hit that bump right when I go back out there next time. Because, you know, maybe it's only 5 laps that you get that day before you have to go qualify.
Do you have the opportunity to watch yourself race? Do you watch the real replays and look at it that way? Or are you just sort of thinking in your mind because you remember, oh yeah, lap 5 went around turn 4, this is what happened?
Yeah, I think that video is really helpful. For me, I like to do it all by writing and memory and kind of drive the lap over and over and over in my head. I do save certain laps, like I'll save like a qualifying lap, I'll save a good race lap, I'll save a good fuel saving lap, and kind of have those on my computer and ready to go. But, you know, I always have my phone, so I always have my notes, which is really nice. So I can kind of be on the plane, read my notes, or like I can think through the lap over and over and over again before I get there.
That's awesome. You know, Rob and I have talked about like the early days for us. We started iRacing during the pandemic, and we would be legitimately nervous, like sitting there, and sometimes still on a Tuesday night if I'm just doing a GT fix, that might not be. But before an endurance race or something like that, there's actual nerves. When you're sitting there in your real car, are you just so focused that you don't even have time to think about it? Or are there just some pre-race kind of, all right, here we go, that helps you focus, some jitters, or, you know, how does it feel to sit there at a real start line or rolling start, whatever the case might be?
Yeah, it's mental part is huge. And so I'm a huge proponent of mental health and also mental strength. And so I work with a sports psychologist to kind of work on that stuff because, you know, when you're getting ready to line up on the grid and you got to have that switch that you can turn on and just kind of make your nerves disappear. And so it's funny that you say you get that on iRacing because I get that on iRacing as well.
Yeah.
And so
That's
if it makes you
awesome.
guys feel any better,
Okay.
you'll sit there and you'll get nervous before qualifying. Me and my teammates talk about it all the time because we're so competitive. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm sure you guys feel the same way. You
Yeah.
want to beat that guy. And so, you know, you get nervous, you get yourself worked up. And so you just kind of have to, I don't know how, but chill out, and then just focus on your lap. And I heard you guys mention on a podcast how you have different styles of going about qualifying. I think I heard, I don't know which one of you said it, but get that banker lap in and then go for it. That's like, I do the opposite. So my first lap, I go for it for some reason. And then the second one, I like to get my banker lap in. So.
That's funny.
So, Mason, when you join a session and you have that 3 minutes before a qualifying session, what do you do? Josh goes out and tries to turn as many laps as
During the
possible.
practice, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here making sure that my overlays are properly set up and so on. what do you do before qualifying? Are you like trying to practice out on the track, or are you
It
doing
depends, I think most of the time I'm trying to practice out on the track. One of my teammates, Michael, he loves to do dirt races, and I barely ever drive those. And so we'll join random ones, and it will be like, it's like $10 to win. And Michael's like, I'm gonna go for it. I'm like, man, I've never driven this car, this track. I'm updating it right now. The qualifying's about to start, so I'll jump in 3 minutes. I'm like trying to do my three laps that I can do without hitting the wall. So I'd usually take up all that time.
That's so you guys are like, all right, $10 to win, like you're Venmoing each other money back and forth. Like, is that what you're talking about?
It'll be on the description on the hosted races,
I've never joined one of those. I've been tempted because they come up in the oval racing all the time, right?
I didn't know this. There's races that they'll pay you $10, like iRacing credit or something, or
I don't know. Maybe it's Venmo. I have never won one yet, so maybe one
what?
day I'll be able to tell you guys. You
I
maybe
didn't
did.
know this whole world existed within
Yeah,
iRacing. That's
it's
funny.
pretty cool.
Do you ever join those Talladega Gutta Pits? Do you ever
No,
see
I
those?
haven't done that yet. Yeah, it looks fun. I haven't done it yet though.
Have you done oval racing, by the way, at all, or NASCAR in iRacing?
In iRacing, yeah, I think it's pretty fun. It's a lot of
Pretty
strategy.
intense,
You
yeah.
have to have a buddy. There has to be a buddy system, and you can't lose your buddy. Otherwise, you lose
Right,
the
for
pack.
sure. Go back a couple of episodes in our podcast. We're talking about Daytona, and Josh goes on in great detail about having a buddy on the track.
Do you stream, by the way? Do you stream on Twitch or something like that, or?
I tried it for a little bit. I'm gonna get back into it once I kind of figure out my rig, and I don't have a face cam, but I do talk and just have fun a few
Yeah.
times during the pandemic. We did this race, I forget what we called it. It was like the Team Avocado 250. We gave away two t-shirts for the winner, and it was fun. It was Monza, no chicanes is what we did with IndyCars. And so yeah, that we streamed that one. Haven't done it since though.
Now, with real world racing and sim racing or esport racing starting to become not more of one, but it's kind of a symbiotic relationship out there now. And it really came to a head when the pandemic started and they were putting like broadcasting it on Fox Sports and so on. Do you find as a professional racer that there's an advantage to sort of being on a pro sim team, for like name recognition or sponsorship and all that kind of stuff? Or is it kind of ancillary? You can kind of do it if you don't want to, but is there pressure to sort of do both?
Yeah, so I don't know too much about the pro sim team world. My teammate is on a pro sim team, and he talks to me about how well they work together and how it's really nice to be able to kind of bounce setups off, always be in these races in the high splits and different things like that, having kind of iRacers you can count on. I think it would be really interesting for something to try to get into if I had a little bit more time, but I think it really just depends on what you're trying to do with iRacing.
So I also want to talk about openfender.com. To me, it sounds very interesting and is a great tool to sort of bring fans to racers and closing that gap and making that bridge between the two. Can you tell us what drove you to start openfender.com?
Yeah, so Open Fender, it's not only just for fans, but it's also for sponsorship, and it's also for the entire motorsports community, from e-racing to two wheels, sleds, cars, everything you can kind of imagine. And so what it is a place where drivers can kind of promote themselves and get in touch with the fans, be engaged with their fans, but also be engaged with sponsors and kind of make an easy exchange between sponsor and driver to where everything's just laid out. It's two clicks of a button for a sponsor to buy a spot. And that's, for e-racing, that's for IMSA, it's for NASCAR, it's for Supercross. But what really led me to do this was when I was a kid trying to get sponsors in Spec Miata, it was so hard for companies to write me a check because I'm a 16-year-old kid. I didn't have a business, and it's so hard for them to kind of go through like the seven different emails. Oh, but where is the sticker going to go? How big is the sticker going to be? And so when I wanted to help the motorsports community, and I was thinking through what would be something that would be an awesome tool that everyone needs in racing, And I was like, why don't we just build a site where, and me and my dad were talking about this just like one night. We're like, what if we just had a place where people could just sell their sponsorships and where fans could just give to the drivers and drivers could give to the fans and kind of have this one unique spot for racing? I don't know something equivalent to it, but it could be, Kickstarter or it could be Patreon. You know, it's like a kind of good combination between all of those.
There's a guy that we kind of met during we joined a league for a while, and he's off racing F1000s, and we looked him up, and sure enough, he's on there, and we've chatted with him before. He's always trying to track down sponsors or figure out how to pay for the career that he's working on, and you're providing that opportunity for racers that are trying to find sponsors. And sponsors, I guess Rob, we could even get our podcast on the side of an esports car or maybe a real world car if we had a few extra bucks kicking around.
Well, I registered on the website for that exact reason. I was like, geez, what does it cost to get an Everyday iRacers podcast sticker put on the side of Mason's car at Road Atlanta, right?
Yeah, and that's really, really cool to hear. And we've been doing a lot of beta testing, and so we're going to do kind of our relaunch, Open Fender V2, in a couple of weeks. I'll make sure to keep you guys updated and
Yeah.
kind of put in everything, all the new information, all the new tools that we kind of been testing with people. We had this one lady, she raised $6,700 to go to Formula Women contest. It was like smashed her goal. And by just posting on social media, we were super excited. But so for the cost, it's like set by the driver or the racer. And so it could be anything. Even you guys could get sponsorships for your league racing
Ah,
and
that's awesome.
some teams. Yeah.
Well, and when I looked up some racers like the fellow that Josh was talking about, or you, I mean, it's a lot of people just sort of throwing 10 bucks into the hat. And it made me think I could throw Mason 10 bucks and just kind of feel like I'm sponsoring a lap of fuel. It's like,
Yeah.
okay, his first lap at Road Atlanta is mine. It's my gasoline in there.
The
No,
last one when he won was
exactly.
mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's awesome. And how long have you had that going?
Yeah, so it's been about 2 years now of working on this project, and it's been really cool. I've learned a ton. Took a break from school to just kind of work on this full time and race full time. And it's been a huge learning experience. It's been really cool to connect with awesome people through it that, looking to help the motorsports community as well. And so excited for everything.
Mason, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with Josh and I. It's been great to learn about some of the synergies between the pro racing and sim racing and how they work together, and really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me on and hang out with you guys. It's been an amazing conversation. Hopefully see you on Discord and see you on iRacing too.
Absolutely.
So if you've enjoyed the show, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to your podcasts.
If you have comments or you want to send us an email, you can drop us a line at everydayiracers@gmail.com. If you want to chat about all the same stuff that we talk about here each week, you can join our Discord, and the link is in the description.
We hope to hear from you on Discord. If we don't, we hope to see you on the track.